turned you on.
Okay, thank you.
You see what I did there?
Huh? That's all right.
Amen.
That's all right. That's all right. That's all right.
Thank you, Lord. Robert, can you come back for a minute? Robert, am I on? Can you come back for a minute? I just hear that. Rains came, winds blew, my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew, my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew, my house was built on you.
I'm safe
with you.
I'm gonna make it through.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we're so glad that you are our firm foundation.
Yes, God.
We're standing on the solid rock. And Father, you have told us that rains were coming. And you let us know that every day will not be Sunday. But God, we're standing on you. So God, we thank you for being in our lives, for being Lord over our circumstances, for holding our hearts in broken moments and broken times, that you hold it all together, God. We are so grateful. God, we just ask right now, God, today that you would have your way in your word, God. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. In the darkest of times, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Oh, God, light up our pathways today, God. Light us up with your word, oh, God. Oh, God, that we can see beyond the dark into the light of hope. And, God, we forevermore will praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, I had a whole other way at the end of last week that I was studying for. But as I was in the shower, that's where God talks to me a lot of times, because I'm usually singing in the shower and then God talks, but he was talking to me. And as I was in the shower, before anything that I could sing, I heard Jesus wept. And I was in the shower, you know, and I was trying to hold everything together, but I heard Jesus wept. And as I was thinking about it, I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? First of all, cry, Linda, cry. That's first. Second of all, I said, I heard him say, comfort ye my people. And he said, this is the message that I want you to give. And what was so amazing about it was that we are going through John, the book of John. And I was just so amazed that very night when I sat down to read our scripture, our scripture was right in that vein of Jesus wept. And God said, just read it, and I want you to study it out, and I want you to comfort ye, comfort my people. And you know, in the darkest of times, we want light. We want something to come along to make us feel better, something to bring us joy. We want something to shout about, run and dance about. And God said, the main thing about my people is that we are awkward with pain. We are awkward with suffering. We are so awkward with lamenting. And in the world today and coming up, crying is a sign of weakness, and we've heard it over and over. Stop your crying. We've heard it over and over. Many, even this week, have talked to me about how crying was not something that was just, you just did without feeling ashamed of crying. And God wanted us to know something, that tears are a gift. Tears are a gift from our Heavenly Father, and that the enemy has come, as he usually does, to take a gift and make that gift something that we would be unable to use or ashamed to use, that would work against us instead of for us. But this morning, God wants us to know that the enemy is still a liar. He's still a deceiver. He's still a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to destroy a gift that God has given us. And God, in this chapter, as I have read it and said the verse, it was one my father would have us to memorize verses, as I've told y'all over and over. He would come home from work, leave us with verses, and we would memorize verses to this day. I'm so grateful for what he did. At that time, I was like, what is this all for? But I'm so grateful today. But that verse right there was just like, I'm going to get this easy. It was the verse that he left us to memorize. Some of them was, you know, we had to memorize the whole chapter of John 14. And so that's a long chapter, and we memorized it. But when all we had to remember was Jesus wept, I saw, man, I said this morning, I'll be ready by the time Daddy comes home. Jesus wept. But not really gathering the power of that, or the understanding of that. As I tell the saints of God and people over and over, there are some things that we don't understand in the moment, but there's a day coming that we do understand. And there's a lot of things even about death we don't understand, but there's going to come a day. We used to sing, by and by, we're going to understand it better, by and by. And as I went through this chapter, and as God began to deal with me about his gift, he wanted me to bring that to us today. And I pray that we receive the gift of weeping, the gift of crying, the gift of releasing. Just imagine if we couldn't release. And some of us can't imagine, because some of us have held weeping and crying for years, and we know the walls that it has built. I've heard others, and people in my family that have said, Mom, I can't even cry. I don't know what's wrong, Mom, but I can't even cry. Because so many things have happened, that what happens is the enemy starts making us build up a defense and makes us start doubting our God. And we start building up this wall. And we start building up this wall that says, I'm not going to cry anymore. I'm tired of crying. I'm not going to cry anymore. Instead of knowing that crying is a gift of release. When I was in the shower, one thing God said to me, that crying is not an insult against faith, but the enemy will make it seem like it's an insult against our faith to cry. But crying didn't come from the enemy. The ability to cry, the tear ducts to cry, the tears that came out, they didn't come from the enemy. They came from God. And so God, who is a gracious gift giver and knows exactly what we need, he gave us the ability to cry. Some people suppress their emotions, and they think it's sinful, weak, and inappropriate for them to grieve, especially in front of others. Some people do not allow themselves to grieve out of misplaced understanding and lies from the enemy. In John 11, 33 through 35, it says this. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. In the Amplified, it says this about his relationship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. In John 11 and 5, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were his dear friends, and he held them in loving esteem." He loved them. Every scripture in the Bible points to a certain life-changing truth. Jesus was fully man and fully God. Because Jesus became fully man, it shows us to what extent he was willing to go to be like us. In Philippians 2, 6 through 7, it says, "Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. But he stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant slave, in that he became like man and was born a human being. In the scripture, let us know that Jesus, he was God, but he stripped himself of all that dignity. Can you just imagine? Leaving his home in glory to come to earth, stripped himself of all the dignity to come to where we live, to put on what we walk in. We'll live through our vehicle of this flesh so that he could understand and he could know what we were going through. You know, I think about that. I don't know if some of you guys might have been, it's a man or a woman, but as a young girl, when I used to play with my little dolls and stuff, okay, and do my little house and my little dolls, and I would think about, you know, how I was directing their lives, you know? And I don't know how, if you young men ever played like that, but like I was directing their house and, you know, their lives and their world. And, you know, I can make this one, Ken, be with Barbie. Or if I didn't like Ken, I'd knock him out the way and he'd be, I was the director of their lives, you know? But I never imagined myself being their life. Did you see, you understand? Of coming to the, being the Barbie doll or whatever doll I was playing with, I was always the, let's say, the Lord over my dolls. But God did something unimaginable, because I never, even in my imagination, I don't know, some of you might have, you know, we have an imagination, and my imagination was what created the lives for my dolls, but even in my imagination, never did I want to be the doll in the Barbie house. I always wanted to direct their lives. And when I think about our great, great God, the Creator, our Creator, who not only wanted to be our Lord, but that He would make Himself a body and come into our creation. So His creation, you're right, His creation, so that He could understand us, that He could see what we was, so we could never say, you don't understand. We could never say that, because He put on flesh and He became like us. His weeping in this story is evidence of His true human identity. Jesus wept on three occasions in the Bible. This one in the story that of Lazarus. And then in Luke 19, He stands and weeps over Jerusalem. And then again, He weeps in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible does not, and it could have, present Jesus without emotions. It could have just left all of that out. But Jesus wanted us to know something. He did not ignore or put down or shush the pain of Mary and Martha. Come on now. Come on. He said, stop your crying. But He didn't do that. You know, Jesus knew exactly what He was going to do. When they came to Jesus and told Jesus to come, and Jesus extended His time where He was at, because He knew exactly what He was going to, He knew that He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And it would seem that when He walked up, some of us having that kind of knowing, that when we walked up and there's people crying or people that were in dismay, we go, shh, shh, wait, just hold on. I'm about to raise, you don't need to cry. I'm about to raise Him from the dead. Many of us would have ignored their crying in light of what the power of what we were about to do. Because in our mind, there'd be no need to cry. They don't know. There's no need to cry. But Jesus honored their crying. And before He did the miracle, He honored their crying. Before He did the miracle, He leaned into their crying. He stopped and He honored their tears. What a God we serve. What amazing God we serve. In Hebrews 4 and 15, in the Message Bible, it says this. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. This scripture lets us know that we don't have a high priest that does not know or care about what we're going through. He's been through it all. In Isaiah 53:3, it says, to prove that out, it says, He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrow and pain and acquainted with grief and sickness, and like one from whom men hid their faces, He was despised. And we did not appreciate His worth or have any esteem for Him. In Isaiah 53:4a, it says this. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. Jesus was burdened by the griefs of others. Though he knew everything he was about to do, he cried and he mourned with others because he was aware. His humanity made him aware of the pain. And he knew that they could not know, imagine, or believe for what was about to happen. He knew that they didn't know. They couldn't even imagine Lazarus coming back to life. But he was aware, always, God is aware of your pain. And sometimes we think because bad things happen that God is not aware or he does not care. But God is aware of our pain. He cares about our grief. He bears our grief. It says that he bears our grief. In Lamentation, it says this: for he does not willingly and from his heart afflict or grieve the children of men. This is something that we need to get into our heart, because it's where the enemy will trick us and make us believe that God is afflicting us, that God knows that we're grieving and he's part of that. But here in this, in his word, where we must get into the word of God, because it is at these times that the word of God is the only strength we have. And if we don't know what's in the word of God, the enemy will tear us apart. And the enemy will make us doubt. The only one that can help us is our God. But it says this: for he does not willingly, that is not, God does not willingly and from his heart afflict or grieve the children of men. God is not willingly ever grieving us or afflicting us. It says this, we have to believe this. We have to be persuaded of this, or the enemy will come and say, look what the Lord did. If he loved you, he wouldn't. Why would he do that if he loved you? The tears of Jesus went deeper in this chapter than the relational love for his friends. He understood and he got it. In or on Facebook, there's a site that I go to and I look at, and I love the site because of how it brings Jesus into our distresses. And so a lot of times it'll let you know that you might feel lonely, but Jesus felt lonely too. You might feel abandoned, but Jesus felt abandoned too when everybody, and then it ends with, he gets us. There are constantly these ones that come that show that the relationship of Jesus, relational knowing our woes, our distresses, and our pains, and it always ends with, he gets us. And there's a joy and a peace every time it's referenced in the Bible for me, where what I'm going through, Jesus went through, and so I know that he understands. There's a joy there. There comes over me a certain peace, a certain safety, a certain safety and knowing and security that what I go through, he went through, and he gets me, and that security. But God wants you to know today there should come a security over us, but because he wants to ask us this question. He says, I get you, but But do you get me? I get you. I get your pain and I get your suffering. I get your fear and I get your dread and I get your worry and I get your anxiousness. I get your doubt. I get it. He said, but do you get me? Children, do you get me? Do you get that? I'm with you always. Do you get that? That all things work together for the good. Do you get me? Do you get me? And the only way we're going to get to God is to become acquainted with him and to become acquainted and really know what Jesus was all about. When Jesus was standing at the grave of Lazarus, some people wonder what was that all about, and they think that it was just about raising Lazarus from the dead. And so many people have it in their mind that he raised Lazarus from the dead. He should raise the whole world from the dead. And we begin to wonder why not my loved one. Why not my loved one? But there was a purpose beyond just raising Lazarus from the dead. God knew that at that moment, if you read on into that scripture that we were reading, that signified the point where now all hell was going to break loose against Jesus. This was the final straw that made all the Pharisees and all them to come after him for his death. This was, Jesus knew right then that he knew not only was he going to make Mary and Martha happy in their brother being alive, he knew this was going to signify and cause the Pharisees to put the stamp of seal, you're going to die. You've got to die. You've done raised somebody from the dead. Everyone's all excited about it. We are not going to have this. You are going to die. Jesus, in knowing this, knowing the timing, knowing that this was going to cause, knowing that this was going to cause a ruckus of hate, was going to cause people to come after him, yet he raised him from the dead. He didn't shrink back knowing what he was called to do. He was called to come and to die. He didn't shrink back. And I just thought to myself that at that moment with all, there wasn't everybody around him that loved him, that shouted hallelujah, that was for him. And these was for the same people that he was going to die. And I thought at that moment, would I have let that play out? Or I would say, y'all don't even trust in me. Y'all don't even believe in me. I'm not going to do this today. But his love, knowing the death that he was about to have to go through, he still raised Lazarus. Not just for the joy of raising Lazarus, but for the knowing that this was going to be setting in motion. Sometimes we don't understand that some things we think is good is setting in motion something else that's sorrowful. Jesus knew this. And yet he did it. The outcome was going to be good and glorious, but it did not mean that Jesus took the suffering it caused lightly. When Jesus wept, he knew the outcome for them was going to be glorious. And he could have skipped up there. He could have sung on the way to see Lazarus. Do you see what I'm saying? Because he knew, but he did not take their suffering lightly. It makes me almost cry because he did not take their suffering lightly. But sometimes we take his suffering lightly. Sometimes we forget all about it. We forget what he did. But he did not take their suffering lightly. He was so concerned that their tears mattered so much that he leaned into their suffering to let them know, your suffering I don't take lightly. Your suffering matters. What a loving God we serve. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 14, it says, Now also we would not have you ignorant, brethren, about those who fall asleep in death, that you may not grieve for them as the rest do who have no hope beyond the grave. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will also bring with him through Jesus those who have fallen asleep in death. What a beautiful, beautiful scripture if we don't let the enemy mess us up. Because as usual, the enemy will only rest on one part. And he will use that part against you. And it says the part that I feel that he uses is that you may not grieve. That you may not grieve. That you may not grieve. And in our minds, sometimes we think, I'll be stoic. I won't grieve. I'll hold steady. I won't. But it didn't say that you may not grieve, that you shouldn't grieve. It says that you may not grieve as the rest do. That you can grieve, but don't grieve like the rest do. And who is the rest? The rest of them that don't have any hope. He says, go ahead and grieve. I understand the sorrow and I understand the pain. He says, but don't grieve as one that has no hope. And somewhere down the lines, the enemy has tainted it where we feel we cannot grieve. We feel like we cannot cry, at least not in front of other people. And we must hold it all together. Let me hold it all together even when I want to scream, when I want to cry. Let me hold it all together. But God said, that's not so. That's not biblical. And it is why sometimes we are sick. Holding where God has told us to release. He our tears matter so much that he says that he has taken all our tears and put them in a bottle. When somebody else is saying, wipe them tears away. Stop your crying. God says, your tears matter so much to me. I've taken them all. I see your tears. I see why you cry. Most people that want you to stop crying is because it makes them feel awkward. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to help you. They don't. Sometimes when I feel awkward, sometimes I want someone to stop crying because I feel like if I just start crying, I might never stop. Have you ever felt like that? That the river is not going to stop. But even in that, the enemy would make us feel all these negatives about tears instead of entrusting our tears to the Father who made them, who gave them, who gave us the emotions to cry. Instead of entrusting them to Him, we entrust ourselves to the dictates and the things that the world says about tears and things that we've grown up about tears. And the next thing you know, we can't cry. We can't feel. Some people can't feel because they've dried up on the inside. There is no tears. You know, tears are important. When I went to the doctor, you know, I'm having surgery next Tuesday. But tears, not next Tuesday, the Tuesday after that. Tears are important because otherwise you get dry eye. And it's a hard feeling. It's scratchy and hard. And so I constantly, they've given me drops. So, and I didn't know what that meant until no tears would come out of this eye. And I was starting to feel that every time my lid goes down, it feels like sandpaper against my eye. And God says sometimes we don't realize that's how we are when we lose all feelings. We're like gritty. No emotions. We can't help another person out because we have lost all sensitivity and emotions. And God, He wants us to know that Jesus wept. Two words. Powerful, delivering, releasing words over His people. Jesus wept. And if Jesus wept, you can't. If Jesus wept, we can too. In 1 Thessalonians, in the Message Bible, it says, and regarding the question, friends, that has come up about what happens to those already dead and buried, we don't want you in the dark any longer. First off, you must not carry on over them like people who have nothing to look forward to. As if the grave was the last word. As if the grave was the last word. As if the grave was the last word. It's not the last word. Amen. And that's what God wanted us to get. He gets us, but do we get Him? Do we get the fact that what He did made the grave not be the last word? Do we get that if He had not had died, the grave would have been the last word? There would have been no more eternity. There would have been no life after death. But because of what He did, the grave is not the last word. Amen. And God said, do you get this, my children? Do you really understand this? That sin was to make the grave be the last word. But you know what? Eons of history before any of us was even thought of, Jesus thought of us and a way out. Before He stood at the grave of Lazarus, that way had already been made for Lazarus. That way had already been made for us, that when we died, the grave would not have the last say over our life. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Weeping is not a dishonor to our faith. Weeping without hope is. The enemy of our souls come to steal our hope and attack our faith. Hold on to your hope. Hold on to your hope, God says. In Psalms 30 and 5b, it says this. For His anger endureth but a moment. His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Sometimes the night seems so long, but God's promise is there will be a morning. There will be a getting up morning in our lives. In Revelations 21 and 4, it says this. We've got to know these truths, and we got to know these promises. We've got to be fully persuaded so that when the time comes, these promises can stand up within our spirit, and we have the weapon of the word to fight back against all the darts of the enemy. In Revelations 21 and 4 says this, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be anguish, sorrow, and mourning, nor grief, nor pain anymore. For the old condition and the former order of things have passed away. One day death is going to be no more. And God said he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. There's a day we won't have to cry anymore, but today we get to cry. Today we get to cry. We don't have to be ashamed about it, but today we get the gift of release. We get to cry. Thank God we're not walking around. When we don't have to cry anymore, we won't be in these bodies. This mortal body will have put on immortality, and we won't have to cry anymore. We won't need that release. But right now, we need the release. Right now, we need to cry. Right now, we need to let it out. Right now, we need to let it lay at the feet of Jesus. Right now, we need to cry. And thank God for his gift of crying. The Bible says Jesus wept. He understands, and he promises comfort to those who weep. In Matthew 5 and 4, it says this, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed. And if you look in the Amplified Bible, it says blessed and enviable. Something to be envied are they that mourn. That is something when you read that. It says blessed and something to be enviable means that because somebody else can't do it. Somebody else can't cry. Somebody else has gotten so hard. Somebody else has built up a wall that they cannot cry. But the Bible says, blessed are they that mourn. You know why? Because they shall be comforted. When we cry, and we cry with faith, we know that God has promised to give us a comforter. And that comforter can come, and he can comfort us in a way that nobody can. You know, in grief, there's so many times we want to say, we want to do, we don't know what to say, we don't know what to do. Our words are at a loss, but our heart is wanting so bad to bless the one that has lost. But God says, when we don't know what to do, God, our eyes are fixed on you. Because God knows exactly what to do. And sometimes when we don't know what to say or we don't know what to do, sometimes we just need to just be still and let God do what he's called to do. He's the comforter. And let him comfort like only he can. In Romans 12 and 15, it says this: rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy, and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief. Sometimes we don't want to weep. I want to be strong for you. I don't want to cry. I want to be strong for you. But biblically, it does not say that. Biblically, it says, and weep with those who weep. It teaches us about Christian compassion. We may be tempted to treat the suffering with indifference, or approach the suffering as though they need a quick fix. Hurry up, let me give you some joy. Hurry up and let me give you some happiness. Hurry up and get over with this. But they need to grieve. They don't need to be rushed from grief. They need to grieve. Jesus didn't rush Mary and Martha from grief. He knew they needed to grieve. And he also knew that the enemy would come against their grief. And he said, lest you would neglect your grief because the enemy's telling you it's foolish and all these people are around, I'm going to lean in with you in your grief and I'm going to weep with you. And I'm going to let you know it's all right to weep. It's all right to cry. The verse is to inject personal sensitivity into our relationships in consistency with the example of Jesus. He is injecting personal in this world where we've gotten so impersonal and so hard. This scripture takes us back to a loving Savior who's personal, who's relational. He's not just religious. He's not even religious. He's relational. And sometimes we get religious when God is teaching us to be relational. There's a song that the Lord gave me last night. I just love how he does it, but I looked and was looking for something else, and this song came up, and I want to play it for us as we just take just a couple of moments. And what God wants to say in the midst of it all, even in that miracle, God wants to say, no matter what it looks like, no matter how bad it hurts, he's still God.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's still God.
Oh, yes, yes.
No matter the loss,
yes, yes.
No matter the pain, don't you dare let that enemy make you mad at your Creator. The one who fought that we would not have to end up as the grave being our final destination. The one who bled and died for us. Does he know about the grave? He knows about the grave. Does he know about all the things that make us afraid of being buried or being a cadaver on a cold table, being buried in the ground or cream? Does he know? He knows. He knows. He knows. He was buried in a grave. And he knows about that. But he also knows that he's going to get us up out of that grave. And he left us just a glimpse. All of God's miracles, they never was The miracles were not all across the board. Everybody that got sick got well. Everybody that died got up. It was not, they were glimpses of what it is to be whole in Christ when we go to that place he has prepared for us. There's not going to be any more dying. We're going to resurrect. That was a resurrected glimpse. It was a resurrected glimpse, you guys, of what is going to be for all of us. And God wants us to remember at all times, you look that enemy in the face while you're crying. Because the enemy, while you're crying, the enemy says, you don't believe in God. Yeah. See all that teaching you've been getting and all them scriptures you've been reciting and all that worship you've been doing and all that dancing you've been doing and all that stumping around you've been doing. See, right in this moment, you don't believe in God. This moment, you doubt God. See them tears coming down your face. See you being shaken in your spirit, and you better stand up straight and say, I'm shaking and I'm crying, but he's still God. 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 And the why you're messing with me is that you don't have what I have. Whether I go down in the grave or raptured in the sky, I shall live again. And I shall live in eternity with my Lord and Savior. He's still God. Through the tears, tell him. He's still God. Yet he's still God. You may scream, but he's still God. You may go into a place that seems like a cave that you don't want to talk to anybody or say anything. And your reactions, your human reactions are something that the enemy might throw in your face. But as long as you can say, he's still. He's still God. If I couldn't say a word, and that means he's still God. He's still God. At this time, when we listen to this song, I want all of us to bow our heads and just meditate and pray. We want to pray for Amanda and the family and aim our prayers toward Amanda and the family and God's strength. We also want to aim our prayers toward Juliet. I didn't know that Juliet had a death in her family. She's leaving to go for that. We want to aim our prayers toward all who are suffering. Some are suffering and holding themselves, trying to be so strong. Jesus' word says, in your weakness, I am made strong. Yes. We pray for a release, a delivering release, a healing release. No. It may not mean that you cry today and you won't cry anymore.
That's right.
There is no time limit on grief. But what it means is that you have given your grief to the one who can navigate with you through the valley of grief. And hold you in those times when the enemy would want to drown you. He's still God. Can you play that for us now? Yes.
When all foundations have been shaken, when all hope has is faded,
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
I will declare that you are with me.
Thank you, God.
Though voices whisper that you're not.
Thank you, God.
You'll never leave me nor forsake me.
Thank you, God.
Cause you still reign and you're still God.
Thank you, God. Jesus.
I know that I can trust your heart. And this one truth will be my story. Yes, it will. You still reign and you are still God. Though I can't see what's before me, I know that I can trust your heart. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yes, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I'll trust the victory of your cross.
Thank you, Lord.
And fix my eyes upon you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
For you are God and I am not.
Come on, thank you, God. We're just going to have those that may need prayer right now just to come. And we want to surround those. I want Julia to come. I'm going to surround those in prayer. I love how she said, and worship will be my story. That you still reign. He still reigns. I love the part where she says, though I cannot see what's before me. I don't know about tomorrow. We reach out in prayer for Amanda as she looks, wondering about her future. But I love how she says that, I don't know about that, but I do know God's heart. Yeah. And if he be for us, who or what can be against us? Our future is in his hands. And Lord, as these have come to the altar, if anyone else, if you want to come and you want to, one thing, you might not be in grief, but they are in grief. And if you want to stand with them, because the Bible says to stand with those that are weeping, if you want to stand with them, just come up and we want to surround them. We want to surround them. Thank you, Lord. Surround them. Thank you, Jesus. God, you can lay your hands on them. Your extension of God's love. And Lord, we just thank you today, God. We thank you. We thank you for being the comforter, God. We thank you for in seasons of grief, we are not alone. Father, that you are with us. And when we don't even understand it all, God, we can just lean on you, God. Oh, God, I ask that they know that they are being held, God. That there's evidence of your presence. Not just here in the altar, God, but when they are alone, when they are in their car, when they're in their home, God. Evidence of your presence. Your presence. Where their help comes from. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, as they cry, Lord, remind them that their tears matter. And Lord, you are leaning in with them, God, not just to shush them, God, but let them know that you are with them. Oh God, as they cry in faith, they cry in hope, they cry at your feet, oh God. Thank you for tears, God. Thank you for release, God. Thank you for being the example, God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Have your way in this body, oh God, as we all grieve in our own way over our dear brother Thomas. Oh God, help us right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Help us right now. Lord, in your name. One day we won't have to cry anymore. One day you will wipe all tears away from our eyes. For Lord, we will keep our trust in you. We will keep our faith in you. And we will not allow the enemy, the thief, to steal our faith in you. Thank you, Lord. You're still God. You're still God. You're still God. You're still God. We would declare it. You are still God. In Jesus' name, amen.